The Last Day at Bohun's Court is a new novel from Ava Welsh. It explores a key relationship in the life of Elizabeth Bohun, a writer who divided her time between Cork and London. A wartime romance with a Canadian diplomat that neither party ever forgot, and that went on to inspire one of Bohun's most acclaimed novels, The Heat of the Day. Ava Welsh joins me now on the line. This is a work of fiction, this new work, Ava, but you work in literary criticism as well, very much so in your academic life. And Elizabeth Bohun has been very important in terms of that literary criticism. What stands out about her for you before we talk about this novel?
That's a very good question. Like, what has always appealed to me about her? Just the quality of the writing, the sort of classicism, the invention. I suppose the poetic quality of her prose and of her description. I think once you read something by Bohun, a description of a house, a person, a child, everything, it always lingers in your mind. So really it was the quality of the writing for always inspired me. And she said that fiction was the poetic expression, or the non-poetic expression of a poetic truth. So it's really admiration for her as novelist, short story writer and memoir writer.
So there you go. You set yourself quite a task then when you have someone whose writing you think has that quality that you're now going to fictionalise an aspect of her life. And you talk about getting using non-poetic expression to find a poetic truth. What was it about the academic expression that wasn't getting to the truth? Did you want to get somewhere else by going into the world of fiction here?
Yes, because it's easier. you can say what you want in a novel, and you can make things up and you can invent. And I always thought, well, how did she do it? How did she manage to publish a novel dedicated to her lover while still living with her husband and continue to live with her husband in the year that her lover gets married? So I thought, behind this wonderful writing is a life, a very rich and undoubtedly complex life. And I think I felt I could, I mean, it sounds very audacious even to attempt it, but it's fiction. It's my imagining of how, behind the scenes, I suppose, she negotiated her life.
You do know you've set yourself up now, having said to novelists that it's a lot easier to write a novel than it is to write literary criticism. You could find yourself in deep trouble now, Ava.
Hopefully, Sean, with any luck. I feel it, I feel a heated debate coming on, as Mrs. Merton would say.
Let's just lay out, I suppose, I saw the lovely term, I think you used it, in fact, in your Irish Times article, a love rectangle that's involved here. Elizabeth Bohun and her husband, Alan Cameron, and then the diplomatic Charles Ritchie. And was it his cousin that he married, Sylvia Ritchie?
Indeed, she was his cousin, and she had been very much part of his life, and indeed Elizabeth's own life. She had known her. But the actual wedding itself came as an enormous shock to Elizabeth. And she, I think, for it's recorded for nearly 20, 25 years, she didn't want to meet her again. She didn't want to have anything to do with her. So, I mean, one of the things I started thinking about was, what was it like to be Sylvia Ritchie? You know, you just get married to your cousin and this novel comes out which is dedicated to your husband, and actually it's about the love affair he has with one of the most celebrated writers of the time. So that's one of the things I've tried to imagine in my novel.
And it is, I mean, it is a well-known romance, this Bohun-Ritchie situation. Has it been written about much before, even in critical terms, and on how it might have fed into Bohun's work? Or was this, were you finding a totally new tack on Bohun's work by doing this work of fiction?
No, I mean, everybody knew, and I was lucky to meet people who knew her, and they were very fond of her husband, and they were very fond of Charles Ritchie, very fond of him. He was an established part of her life, and there's a wonderful book called Love's Civil War, which is Bohun's letters to Ritchie and Ritchie's own diaries. And we have, you know, in her fiction, I think, we have an account of their love affair in The Heat of the Day. And throughout their work, throughout both of their writings, There's a very strong acknowledgement of this, and he was there right to the end. What we don't have is Alan Cameron's version or Sylvia Ritchie's version, and I've just made it up. I mean, I don't know what they really thought, but I tried to imagine it. So I gave them a chapter each, as well as giving both Elizabeth and Charles sort of alternate chapters.
And Alan Cameron, and again, I'm confused now in my own head as to whether this is within the diaries or within the reality or within your novel. Alan Cameron kind of grudgingly came to accept Charles Ritchie almost as a pal towards the end of this period.
That's my sense of it. And I think one biographer records the fact that there was a quite nice framed photograph of Charles Ritchie in Bowen's apartment that she lived with her husband. And he was a regular visitor to their house. So nothing was hidden. And I mean, I imagined the two men getting on reasonably well and understanding, you know, the nature of their relationship with this kind of central figure in their lives. And that's one of the things I try and imagine, the way in which these things were negotiated, because nothing like that is easy. It might look easy, but it isn't. It can't be. And I suppose that's what I wanted to try and tease out. It's my version of it. It may be completely wrong, but as I said, it's a novel. It's made up.
And you clearly have enjoyed that making up process greatly, Eva. But I'm wondering about, you did go, you travelled, you looked at that book of letters, the letters of Elizabeth Bowen, you looked at the diaries of Charles Ritchie. But yet within the book itself, we certainly get made up letters on the part of Bowen and Ritchie. You know, the academic in you, did you just have to put him to the one side and say, forget about the footnote here now, mister. You're not
absolutely
going to get anything like that. You're going to make this up and you're not going to worry about what people think about that.
Absolutely. You have to give yourself permission. When you're writing historical fiction, which I suppose this is, although their lives are very near to ours, you have to be a researcher and you have to be a historian and literary critic, and then you have to stop. And then the novelist or the storyteller or the writer has to take over. And one thing I did, which is that apart from the four main characters, everybody else is invented. And that's really to give it a kind of, I suppose, an atmosphere of fiction. I invent all the minor characters and only the four main characters. And as you say, Sean, I invent letters and obviously conversations that nobody knows what they were. And I had to leave all that behind and try and imagine myself into their world. And I found it immensely pleasurable and actually quite painful as well. At crucial moments, I felt very sorry for all of them and immensely connected to the lives that all four lived. I mean, four adults that had to make their way in a world that kind of compromised each of them, you know.
The other thing that I think is important is, can I just check on the dates of it? Because the novel that you give us is very much a wartime novel. But in reality, did Ritchie and Bowen actually meet? Was it after the war? After the Second World War? They weren't met during the war, did they?
During the war. I mean, I did change some things, but no, they met right in the war. And theirs was very much a wartime love affair. And she always felt that they kind of lived in an imaginative world that was created by the London, the Blitz. And of course, this was the thing that I had never envisaged. When my book came out, when I got a wonderful cup, it's beautifully produced and put together and presented. I found myself like reading it in the first few weeks in a very similar world to the one I was trying to imagine. A world where the normal had fled. And as Bowen said, they now lived in a world of lucid abnormality. So the war, London, the Blitz, was crucial to their meeting. And bizarrely, and so strangely, when I came to read the novel now in the last few weeks, you know, to me there are all sorts of parallels between those worlds and the world we find ourselves in.
The novel, the Heat of the Day, Bowen's actual novel, The Heat of the Day, is part of the story here as well. And as you say, she dedicated that to Ritchie. You give us a great scene where Ritchie's wife, Sylvia, reacts to that dedication in a not very nice way, perhaps, and totally understandably so. What are the parallels between the story that's told in The Heat of the Day, do you think, and the Charles Ritchie, Elizabeth Bowen affair? Because you suggest here that, in fact, this affair was very much, it very much informed the story that Bowen told in her greatest novel.
Yes, I think it really did inform. In The Heat of the Day, we have a central character called Stella, and she falls in love with a man called Robert Kelway. And the novel is about spying, which is something, you know, Bowen understood and was very interested in. And the love affair has an intensity created by the landscape of war. And I don't want to give away the ending of The Heat of the Day. It's a wonderful novel, but it has many twists and turns and quite a tragic kind of denouement. And I wondered about Bowen using her own love affair to create the central characters, but then moving it in an entirely different direction. And my central interest in the novel, my novel, is Bowen being unable to finish her wartime novel, now that Charles has got married to his cousin. And it's about her reclaiming, I suppose, that imaginative space that they found themselves in together, which was London during the Blitz. So the two novels, my novel and Bowen's novel and her affair, they're all interconnected. I mean, I would like to say, said he, in the interests of selling the book, you don't have to have read Bowen to follow it. If you like her work, I hope you'll enjoy the parallels. And I mean, I really plundered her work to sort of her own fiction to fill out what I wanted to imagine as her life. But if you do like Bowen, I hope you'll enjoy the novel. But you don't have to have read it to follow my novel.
Given that you're saying that effectively, if there was a thesis in a work of fiction, the thesis of this book is that it was this love affair between Elizabeth Bowen and Charles Ritchie that informed The Heat of the Day. Was that something she commonly did in her other works? That's asking you, I suppose, the literary critic to answer that one.
Yes, I mean her work, like The Last September, which we know, her very famous novel, very much based on her family home, Bowen's Court, in North Cork. Her most popular novel, The Death of the Heart, she based it in the house that she lived in on Clarence Terrace, the one I talk about, in Regent's Park. So Bowen was always drawing upon the landscape of her own life to make her novels. And yeah, she very much drew upon her relationship with Charles Ritchie and her experience of war. And then what I do is I use some of her stories and some passages from her novels to actually fill out what we don't know. Like she and Charles Ritchie wander out into Regent's Park at night, a kind of moonlit night during the Blitz. That's taken from one of her stories, one of her most brilliant wartime stories. So Bowen borrowed from her life to make her novels, and I'm borrowing from her novels to kind of make up her life as much as yes. I can.
We talk about, you say you invented lots of the kind of side characters, if you like, and that the immediate four, Elizabeth Bowen, her husband Alan Cameron, and the two Ritchies, Charles and Sylvia, they are real people. The fifth character in the book undoubtedly is there in the title, The Last Day at Bowen's Court. How important was and is that family home?
It's hugely important. It became the symbol of their relationship. And I introduce it as a miserable place that they drive up to one wet early summer day, evening, as only a wet day in Ireland in May can be. But it actually became, Ritchie fell in love with the home and with the landscape around there. And I think that's a very good way of putting it. I hadn't thought about that before, but the house is the fifth character. And they never... I mean, it's always eluding them. The house is always sort of escaping them. They manage a lifetime relationship, hardly living in the same place, the same city. And I think they always had, both of them always had this dream that they'd go back to Bowen's Court, or that it would be her home. And I begin and end the novel with Charles Ritchie on his deathbed, longing for her and longing for her house and the light around the house in North Cork, the beautiful landscape around Farahy.
So from now out then, Eva Welch, is it the easy route, the novel route, rather than that old tedious research and backing it up with footnotes, etc.? Are you going to stick to the fiction, or is there still more literary criticism to come?
Well, as we speak, I'm correcting an index for a fantastic new book I'm bringing out, The Collected Writings of Jane and William Wilde. Isn't that a book you'd like to read?
Well, there you go. No need to make anything up there. It's all in the letters, I would have thought.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's Eva Welch there speaking to us about his upcoming book, but the one that he was telling us most about, his current publication, The Last Day at Bowen's Court. It's published by Somerville Press.